A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 29, September 2024, it's a Sunday. We supposed to have our Sunday class, but because of the generosity and kindness of the Glen Kayamita group, we were very fortunate that they had decided to invite me and some Kayamita to Klang to have a sumptuous lunch. We just had it. So thank you so much for the good lunch. And now we're supposed to have a Dhamma sharing at Sister Nancy's house. So it has been, I think almost 10 years since the last time I was here. I remember the house Dana, we gave a talk. Then the brown book, which we transcribed, The Essential Dhamma of the Buddha, that one very good book. It was edited, transcribed by Sister Nancy. And I edited it and we printed it as a book. Then Sui An asked me to bring some latest book. He said, bring 3 sets. Some may not have. I have brought 5 sets. So those who don't have, you can collect from the table there. And this is the last set you can collect also. These 3 books are very useful, the latest. Path to Nibbana. This one is this year. Then the last, latest one is Psychological Time and Physical Time. And this one is based on the timeless teaching. Ultimate Realization to Transcend Life. So this one is discussing about how to develop the understanding to realize ultimate enlightenment, leading to the cessation from birth and death. So this one is also a very good book. Then there was one more book last year we printed, June 2023. What is the difference between awareness and consciousness? This book is very popular. A lot of YouTube video people, they actually like to listen to this book. This book, so far, I think a lot of them are not Kayamita. 3,000 over hit, so far. So a lot of people find it very interesting. A lot of very good feedback and comment. So you want to understand what is true awareness and the difference between pure awareness and consciousness, this is a very good book. Okay. So with that, I will commence our today's puja session, followed by the Dhamma sharing. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. We chant 2 more times. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Now, we continue with the precepts. Panati pata viramani sikapada samadhiyami adina dana viramani sikapada samadhiyami kame sumichachara viramani sikapada samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikapada samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikapada samadhiyami We will take the refuge again, just how we miss out the refuge. Buddhang saranam gacchami Dhammang saranam gacchami Sanghang saranam gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranam gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang saranam gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang saranam gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang saranam gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang saranam gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang saranam gacchami Sadhu 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 Okay, you can visit that. Then we can now commence the Dhamma sharing today. First of all, I'd like to thank all the client Kayamita for sincerely inviting us over to have a very good sumptuous lunch, followed by the Dhamma sharing now. The topic I was told by Sister Nancy was actually asked or proposed by Brother Gan, which is very good. He said, how can we, he used the word enter samadhi to realize the truth. So the more correct word should be, how can we develop samadhi? Understand? You don't enter into samadhi. It's not a door for you to enter into. The mind can settle down after you have developed the ability to be in the state of samadhi. So this topic, I think many cultivators does not have the understanding. And it's a difficult topic, it's not easy. Unless you have developed the cultivation, you will not understand the true meaning of samadhi as taught by the Buddha. So we can refer to the teachings. In the teachings, there are many words that the Buddha used. But the most common one is the Noble Eightfold Path, where he mentioned Sama Samadhi. So Noble Eightfold Path is about all the noble path factor that the enlightened being will have if he were to cultivate it accordingly and realize the enlightenment. See, when you have developed the cultivation correctly, you will have the embodiment of these Noble Eightfold Path factors, which are factors of mind quality that can transform the cultivator into an enlightened being. And during the time of the Buddha, noble beings are called enlightened beings because they are very noble in all aspects of cultivation means they have noble right views leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And how they communicate with others, they have noble qualities, noble understanding. Then after that, they also have the right effort, the four right effort to continuously cultivate the mind, to purify the thought process, to root out the unwholesome thought, to prevent the arising of the unwholesome action, speech, and thought process. First is, of course, you cannot do anything to it. You have to arise the right effort to abandon those wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action that has arisen. Then after that, the Buddha moved on to samasati. Samasati is very important. Right mindfulness. Or sometimes they use the word harmonious mindfulness or appropriate mindfulness so that it will not deviate. Then from samasati, it develops samadhi. So samadhi is a result of samasati. When you have samasati, samasamadhi will come to be. And when you have these two power factors of samasati and samadhi, it will enable you to see things as they are and to insight into phenomena and to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Then at the same time, when you are in the state of sati and samadhi, there is no thought at all. It is a mind state that is beyond thought, beyond the psychological thinking time, because there is no thought involved. That's why it's only awareness. Then the stability of the awareness becomes samadhi. So this understanding is very important. Then in the teaching, there are other references to what heedfulness is. Heedfulness is related to sati and samadhi. Under the Buddha's teaching, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23, the first three verses on Appamada Bhaga means the Dhammapada verses on heedfulness. Verse 21 explains clearly, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So having heedfulness in the midst of life is a prerequisite for spiritual awakening or enlightenment. That's why without heedfulness, the heedless are as if dead. Means spiritually, you don't stand a chance in developing the understanding and the awakening. Then from there, he moved on to Dhammapada verse 22. He said, distinctly understanding the two differences between heedfulness and heedlessness. The wise one, they will intend on heedfulness. So once they do that, the Buddha said, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas. The Aryas are the noble beings or enlightened beings during the time of the Buddha. So you are destined for enlightenment. That's why heedfulness is very important. The wise will intend on heedfulness. Then verse 23 defines clearly what heedfulness is. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment in the here and the now, Nirvana. So that one is very important. Heedfulness is defined as ever mindful, constantly meditative. If you can keep to these two, you will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nirvana. So what is important is understanding what heedfulness is. So heedfulness got two parts. The first part is what we call ever mindful. To be ever mindful, you need to stabilize your mind, the mundane mind, until it's without thought, until it is unmoving. So the stability of it will make you ever mindful. Then if you can use that mind state which is ever mindful to understand things, to insight into phenomena, and to awaken or to meditate, that is the samadhi that the Buddha is talking about. That's why when you are in that state of ever mindful state, it is in the state of meditative inquiry, contemplation, and silently observing the reality to awaken or to insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So this particular Dhammapada verse 23 is key to the understanding of sati and samadhi. So that's the reason why when the Buddha started his teaching under the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, the first category of practice is Kayanupassana. Of all the four foundations, the first foundation is Kayanupassana. And within Kayanupassana, there are six practices that the Buddha introduced. The first one is Anapanasati, means mindfulness of the in and out breath. So that one is to train your mind to be aware of what? Aware of the breath. Because our breath is always with us. Breathing in, the awareness is with it. Breathing out, the awareness is with it. So no need to do anything. Just relax the mind silent. Allow the awareness and the breathing to move as one. That is Kayanupassana. Then after you have developed stability of it, your mind actually can enter sati. Then it becomes very quiet and very still. Then you will experience the silent mind, which is your true mind. Then after that, he said, in order to stabilize this mindfulness while in the midst of life, you need to move on to the second category and third category of practices. He said, you have to develop initially mindfulness of the four postures. Standing, aware. Sitting, aware. Walking, aware. Lying down, aware. Then you move on to integrate all the connecting phenomena between the four postures. Means you're not only standing aware, looking forward, aware. Bending, turning, stretching, putting on your shoulder coat or wearing your whatever clothing, aware. Then answering nature's call, aware. Means everything you do within life, within existence, you develop awareness. This is what we call daily mindfulness. The daily mindfulness is to anchor your mind so that it is with your kaya. Your breath is one of your kaya. The four posture is another aspect of your kaya. Then all the physical activity and movement, like bending, turning, stretching, how you put on your clothing and all those things, answering nature's call, your blinking of your eye, and whatever activity that you do, relaxing, then able to sense whatever stress or tension within you. All these are phenomena within the kaya. So when you are able to be continuously aware of all this, you will develop the daily mindfulness until it becomes very stable, until it's part of you, means you hardly think. And then you will reach a stage of what we call ever mindful. When you are ever mindful, means in the midst of life, this mindfulness is continuously with you. You hardly think. You only arise a thought when you need to live life, when you need to perceive something and reflect or contemplate or do whatever you want. Yeah. So this part is very important and key to the understanding of how you develop samadhi. Then under the teaching, is also mentioned that there are three types of samadhi. First is Kanika samadhi. Some translate as moment to moment, samadhi. Then some translate it not so accurately. They use the word momentary. It means one moment you have, one moment you don't have. One moment you have, one moment you don't have. That one is a very unstable state of samadhi. It's more of moment to moment. Moment to moment is very important. But moment to moment cannot be like continuous samadhi, or means we call it ever mindful. Understand not? There is still moment to moment. You're aware, then you're aware, then you're aware. The stability of it is not there until it becomes a specific phenomenal awareness. Until your sati and the awareness move as one, like the breathing. Breathing in, the whole process of breathing in, the awareness is with that whole breath. That breathing out also with the whole. And that is called specific phenomenal awareness. When your awareness develops until that state, you are stable already. Then everything you see is in sati, like the moving car. There is no word involved. The awareness and the car move as one. Then whatever nature's vibration or movement, the hearing consciousness is in sati one. Awareness is aware of the thing without the word, without the perception. Just like what Ingby realized at the retreat, the recent retreat. The phone ring, the bell. No word, nothing. That thing. Yeah, he was in the state of samadhi, in the inner awareness state. Then that thing was so clear. Then I think Sister Cindy was with her there. Cindy said, "Hey, it's like somebody selling ice cream and the bell and all the thing." So that one means the perception come in already, and the sana. You are no longer in sati, and the sana. Where you perceive already. Means you are not in that state of hearing. The awareness of the hearing is without the word. It's just upon contact, like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up. Like the Buddha said, in the hearing is only that consciousness, understand? That thing, you can label it by saying it's a vibration or one or falling or whatever. That is the description of it. But the real one is the pure awareness that is aware, no word one. That's why when you can in that state of stability, you become ever mindful. Then everything you perceive is in a state of sati. Means seeing is in sati, hearing is in sati, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. Everything is like a flow, like a phenomenal movement. You want to know, you can know. You don't want to know, no need to know. Then you are very peaceful. Throughout the day, your mind is very light, full of sati, awareness, relax. But it's a free mind. It's not a conditioned mind. So that is the big difference. So Kanika Samadhi is, they call it moment to moment, but not stable. Then you have to reach Upachara Samadhi. But Upachara is the other extreme of moment to moment. Yeah, Upachara means assess Samadhi or assess concentration. Before you go into Apana Samadhi, understand? Apana is absorption already. Means you absorb into it. The mind cannot move already. It's a conditioned state. It's not a free mind. Yeah. So when you reach Upachara Samadhi, they call it the excess concentration, that is the higher limit of the free mind in Samadhi. Means when you are ever mindful with a specific phenomenal awareness, you will not go beyond Upachara. Upachara Samadhi is that state of mind that is still conscious, aware. You have not gone into Apana. Apana means the whole mind absorbed into the object of meditation. It can be the breathing or the Samatha, 40 object of meditation as practiced by the Hindus during the time of the Buddha. they call it the kasina and all those things. That one is to go into energy field, the mind get absorbed into it too strong. That one is not samasati. It's not samadhi. That one is a conditioned state absorption. When you are in apana samadhi, all your mental hindrance also suppressed, cannot arise. And you cannot test whether you have the wisdom or not, because you are not affected due to the reason that the energy field, apana samadhi, is very strong. It suppresses the mental hindrance. It cannot arise. That's why you must release it out to day-to-day awareness and develop stability of mindfulness following what the Buddha taught under Kayanupassana, second and third category of training. Means mindfulness of the four posture and mindfulness of sati sampajana, all action, all movement in the present moment. Means not only mindful, with clear comprehension of all these things, the four types of clear comprehension, that will accumulate into the final cultivation of daily mindfulness, the stability of it. Means you are not only throughout the day having this samadhi, sati and samadhi, you are actually able to be in this state. That's why you are ever mindful, constantly meditating. If you can do this and develop the steadfastness to be in this state, the Buddha said you will realize the supreme, born-free Nibbana. And this is what heedfulness is all about. Then now, we come back to the next part of the teaching, which is very useful. The Buddha mentioned in his Four Noble Truths, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, when he expounded the Four Noble Truths and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, he mentioned the three turnings that can give rise to three types of corresponding wisdom. The first one is through hearing of the sutta. If through hearing you can be attentive and without thought, then that mind, which is in a general state of samadhi, attentiveness, without the mental hindrance, that one also can awaken you and develop the first turning wisdom called Sutamaya Panya. Because whatever that is developed, the wisdom to hearing the sutta, is called Sutamaya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the sutta. So how did this come about? This come about is because according to the Buddha in the teaching, he taught the monks the essential Dhamma. He said, there are five mental hindrances or pancha nivaranas that can hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness, leading to samadhi. So once you have the five mental hindrances, you cannot actually develop them. And how does the hindrance come to be? The Buddha also explained, it's because you lack the opposite five, which he calls spiritual faculties, which is saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. That's why in our chanting book, I help you to make the aspiration to evoke power of merit to develop this until it become very stable, until it become unshakable balas. So this is the part that you have to understand. And these five spiritual faculty can be developed through normal understanding. You don't have to practice all hard. No. The Buddha said, here Buddhism or his teaching, the Dhamma, is not based on blind faith that you believe him and you have to believe everything he said. No. His teaching is what he has taught is the truth, Dhamma. And it will stand up to investigation. You can investigate into it and you'll find it useful, use it. If it's not the truth, it will not stand up to investigation. So because of that, when you cultivate the Buddhist Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma, which is not based on belief. But then in the teaching, he said the first spiritual faculty is Sadda, appear contradictory. No, because this Sadda, faith, is not based on blind faith or belief. You don't believe just because the Buddha says so. Like the Kalama Sutta, he told the Kalamas, even if the great religious teacher like me come and say anything, you don't have to believe. You should investigate into it and find out for yourself. Then he gave them two criteria. Ask yourself, he said, if you follow the instruction, does it harm you? Does it harm others? If it does not harm you, does not harm others, then no harm. Yes, give it a try. So what the Buddha taught is very scientific and in accordance with the truth. So faith, according to the Buddha, is based on understanding how unique a being and how wise and virtuous a being, a Sammasambuddha is. Means through knowing how unique and special a being he is. And also through having the understanding that through his perfection, cultivation, wisdom, and virtue, he has developed the understanding until he become the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever born. And this teaching or Dhamma that he has realized and taught to the world can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, can liberate your mind and bring about freedom from suffering, and can also lead to enlightenment in the here and now, so that you need not take rebirth and come back to suffer again. But there is also another teaching, which is the Bodhisattva way, that can allow you to come back without ignorance. You can be reborn with a pure mind, out of love and compassion, to continue the Bodhisattva path training to perfect yourself to become Sammasambuddha. So that part is very beautiful. So Sadda, once you know who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is, that he is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in virtue and understanding. So he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And to have him as your teacher is a great blessing. So that faith in him becomes unshakable, very strong. That's why that Sadda make your mind very calm, very composed. That is how you develop the initial faith leading to that type of mind that is very calm, very composed. And when you have that, it will give rise to what we call virya. You will determine through the virya to cultivate this teaching. Because you start to understand the beauty of this teaching, the importance of this teaching, the great benefits of this teaching. That's why Sadda leading to virya. Then you will cultivate sati, which is the third spiritual faculty. And to cultivate sati is in the teaching, how to develop it, the four foundation of mindfulness. Then he also have the contemplative wisdom, marana nusati, buddha nusati, dhamma nusati, and sangha nusati. You contemplate on the nine great virtue of the Buddha, the special quality of the Dhamma, so that you realize or you come to understand what this Dhamma, as taught by the Buddha, is, the unique characteristics of the Dhamma. Then, what are the unique characteristics of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, so that you will not deviate. So from here, the teaching evolve. Then when you have the faith in him, that virya will make you intensely like interested in the teaching. That's why you keep on listening to the Dhamma to straighten your view, to develop the initial wisdom, to stabilize your understanding. And that general samadhi is very easy to develop. If you are not heedless, not with the mental hindrance, Once your spiritual faculty is there, what will happen is, especially your mind that is very composed with the faith and the virya, you will listen attentively. Then no thought up there. You will just listen. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation and you can awaken. That's why during the Buddha's time, a lot of the disciples, upon hearing the truth, they awaken and become enlightened beings. Even Asaji, Venerable Asaji, when he spoke, and Sariputta at that time was not enlightened yet, the moment he hear what Venerable Asaji mentioned, he said, "My teacher teach, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions behind, my teacher has taught." Straight away from these two stanzas, he become a sotapan. Yeah. And it can be done. It's possible. Even at that time, after 1989, I reflected back. If I had heard that, I would have awakened too. Not a problem at all. But this is based on nature's condition. Like the Diamond Sutta. Each year you waver, means what? Everything is conditioned Dhamma. We live in a conditioned world. Everything is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomena. Nothing arises and exists on its own. Everything that arises are causes and conditions that actually trigger off the law of dependent origination, Paticca Sammuppada. So if you understand that whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind, means the characteristics of impermanent is there. We are dependent on condition, it arrives. When condition transform or changes or ceases, it ceases. It flows in accordance with condition. That's why the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And it's very, very powerful. Instantaneously he will awaken. Then in the fifth daily contemplation he again mentioned all living beings, not only human beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. Which means what? Which means karma plays such a great role in our life. So when he said whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind, means very likely 99.999% is karmically driven or conditioned. Well, you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are every moment, every instant because of that karmic thing. So what else can it be? That's why whatever happened in life, you have to come to terms with that reality, accept it, and understand that karmic is behind. So you do what you have to do. You need to ask for forgiveness, develop the repentance, do. Then need to determine not to commit all this wrong thing again. Means you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all the evil, do good, and purify the mind. And this is how you start your cultivation. This is how you change your life for the better. And finally, you have to develop heedfulness to awaken. So the teachings are all very clear. So initially is develop the spiritual faculty so that the mental hindrances are not there. Then you can listen attentively to Dhamma. Listen without interfering from your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system. Assume you don't know anything. Listen attentively. If it's the truth, it will awaken you. It will bring about understanding. It will link. It's just like when I was young, same. I saw many things. I develop understanding of many things. Although that time I don't know what Dhamma is, I don't know what meditation is. But then it came to me through my awareness. I saw that I knew these are important things. At that time I don't know what it is. But when I was young, I like to look at nature. Then I saw the flow of nature. The trees, the branches, the leaves, all like there is a nature's flow, movement, activity. Then I was thinking, how come I can see? Then I asked my classmate and my friend, they say you chia pa bo min kia zo, go and look at all this. But they don't understand, but their mind cannot be in that state. Then later when I developed the meditative understanding, I realized this is specific phenomenal awareness. I was able to do it when I was very young, and I didn't know what that thing is. Because my mind is like a free mind. My mother used to tell me when I was born into this existence, the first 5 years, no, I got no thought, hardly any thought. I very cute one, I just smile, and like nothing inside there. And my grandmother worried that I'm dumb. That's why he called me in Hakka, Alo. But I never talk. Yeah. But when I was about to turn 6 years old, then I was transferred back to a village near Alostar, where I was in Butterworth earlier. Then I came back here. Then I mixed with all the notorious people. Then my mundane mind started to develop, and the defilement of everything went in. That's how I pick up all this. So after that one came in, my mundane mind become like normal people again. But the karmic nature, that one actually was there. And my affinity or the triple gem, the great beings all were there. Except I need the timing. Yeah. So the timing came when I was in Form 4 or Form 5, I remember, when I start to probe. Yeah. 1970 or 71, I remember. 71. Then that time, that inquiry from inside manifests. I was looking at the sky, the star system, and all those things. As a science student, once I understand science, geography, maths, and all those things, this nature starts to probe. Then the rest, they just continue to manifest. Until 1986, when the message come, then all this fall into place. Yeah. So the first part of the Sutamayapanya, first turning wisdom, through listening, I have already explained. That type of samadhi is born of a mind that has the spiritual faculty. Because of the spiritual faculty, you can pay attention. You have the sadha virya leading to sati, samadhi. Yeah. Then with that, wisdom will keep on arising. That's why first turning wisdom can come about. Then second turning wisdom is based on the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, where the Buddha said, you have to reflect and contemplate and inquire into his teaching. After you have heard them, if it does not awaken you, and if you does not develop clear understanding, then you should go for the second turning, which they give you a few pointers. First noble truth is that this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. So, under the second turning, after he proclaimed the first noble truth, the eighth reality, that can actually brings about suffering if you don't have the Dhamma, then you have to go for the second turning. So under the second learning, he said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So under the second learning, the Buddha said, if you need to reflect on it, contemplate into it, and inquire into it to stabilize the understanding, you must do so. So what is reflection and contemplation? Means you need to inquire why the Buddha say birth is suffering, old age, sickness, and death is suffering. You inquire. Inquire means what? You don't even think now. You just throw out this inquiry. Why is birth suffering? Then through that creative mind that is collected, it's just like the first turning wisdom that arise through the mind that is without hindrance, you can reflect, contemplate. You need like a kong'an, something to trigger off understanding. So when you inquire, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then what happened is, your brain will recollect the birth process, understand? How people come to conceive and go through the birth process, especially if you're a lady who has been mother before, you will know. Or even if you have not been mother before, I also can read up, and I also observe, and through observation of life, I also can know why birth is suffering. And the easiest to deduce is, wherever there is birth, it will be followed by what? Old age, sickness and death, separation, the other realities of the first noble truth. So obviously birth is suffering, understand? Birth cannot be something pleasant. Because with birth comes death, comes old age, sickness and death, then separation and all those things. These are reality that each and every living being has to go through. So when you inquire, you reflect, you throw out this question, then one by one it will lead you to the understanding, the birth process, you will recollect. Whether through knowledge that you read up before, or through observation, or through things that you really experience while living life. Then old age. When you're young, you may not know. But as you age, you learn. Understand? Here you saw your parents, your grandparents, older people. They have a lot of issue with getting old. Your senses will start to fail you. Your health will start to fail you. Your physical, they are no longer like before. Just like a worn-out car or an old car. The parts need replacement, or otherwise they will break down. And a lot of these need medical attention and all those things. So as you go through life, you reflect and you inquire, then you contemplate, all this understanding will surface. But because your mind is without mental hindrance. So normally, this contemplative part, the best place to do it is in a quiet setting. When you are at home alone, in a quiet place. Or when you are at the way place where you do your retreat. Where you can relax and silent and observe nature. Even at home, morning. I think quite a lot of Kai Metta has done that before. I also remember hearing Engby reporting many years ago, more than 10 years ago. He said, but still, like what I said, early morning, when you wake up, the first thing that comes to you is aware, isn't it? Aware of your posture. Then after that, what else do you pick up? Within nature, there are a lot of phenomena, the chirping of the birds, everything. And a lot of things, even your own heartbeat, vibration, everything, you can pick it up. And these are what we call awareness-based phenomena that you pick it up. These are not the thought process, the sankhara activity, or the emotion and the reaction and the stirring of mind. That one lead to heedless thinking, heedlessness. Whereas this awareness that is just aware, there is only understanding to be developed. And the mind that is just aware without thought will transform you into a transformed state of awareness, which is ever mindful, constantly meditating, means constantly reflecting, contemplating, inquiring. And all this understanding will keep on awakening. Then you keep on developing your understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Then you observe and saw all the paticca-samuppada movement, the law of dependent origination, the essential Dhamma, all of the Buddha's teaching, the five aggregate, the three universal characteristics. So everything that you contemplate and reflect, they will appear. Yeah. So second turning is about having a mind that is in a state of samadhi that is not too deep. As long as it is free of the mental hindrance, good enough. Then you can contemplate, reflect, inquire. Then as you contemplate and reflect, you develop deeper understanding and more stable understanding of the Dhamma that you have heard through the first turning. And when you are able to stabilize them, you can assimilate them into your nature. Then it becomes a part of you. And this becomes your initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. So next time, at the moment of sense experience, because you have this samadhi inside, your mind is most of the time just aware, either specifically aware of the specific phenomenal awareness, or it is ever mindful, constantly meditative. So it just observe, it just understand, it just reflect, it just contemplate, it just inquire. And these first two are easy to develop. And these first two, actually, second and first turning, can bring about enlightenment in the here and now, especially the first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood. But for the third stage of sainthood and the fourth stage of sainthood, you need to go to the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why under the Avijja Sutta, it's mentioned very clearly how you can cultivate it. First, he said, you must have kayanamitas, Dhamma friends, understand not? The first prerequisite for enlightenment in the here and now. Then after you have kayanamita, he said, you will have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma because you are with the cultivator of the Dhamma, kayanamitas. Then once you have this opportunity to listen to a true Dhamma, you will develop the what we call the second steps of Avijja Sutta. Means you can have the opportunity to constantly listen to the true Dhamma. And through that, you develop the third, what they call, step of the Avijja Sutta. Means you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. This sadha and what they call leading to the other spiritual faculty of virya, sati, samadhi, and panya is where you cultivate the initial wisdom. That's why when you do that, the first and second turning in wisdom will surface. Then the fourth step is what? Of the Avijja Sutta. You would have developed yoniso manasikara. That's how the initial wisdom come about. So once there is yoniso manasikara, you know what happened or not? At the moment of sense experience, this initial wisdom will prompt you. Then your mind will not stir and react. Means what? Sensual desire and ill will, pleasant, unpleasant, or what they call sensual desire or dislike for the sense experience, all this reactive mind state will not arise. Means your mind will no longer stir like before or react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. All this movement like suddenly stop. Well, what happened is at the moment of sense experience, there is no avijja. There is no delusion, sakayadity. Then this Dhamma, initial wisdom that you have contemplated, it will prompt you. Thing is just the way it is. Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. So once it prompts you, the mind does not stir, means it becomes at peace. It can accept the reality of the moment. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Then there is space between thought. When there is space between thought, that's how you develop the fifth step of Avijja Sutta. The Buddha called it Sati Sampajana. Means you will develop the continuity of Sati, leading to clear comprehension of everything you do in life. The four posture, all action, all movement in the present moment. Because there is space between thought. At the moment of sense experience, you no longer like before, heedlessly stir your mind, react to sense experience, no more. That's why without the first two turning wisdom, initial wisdom developed, this yoniso manasikara cannot stabilize. Then after that, from there, only you can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness using sati sampajana. And sati sampajana, actually the fifth step, fall into the what they call four foundation of mindfulness, the category of cultivation of the kayanupassana. That's why sati sampajana, step five, is already cultivating the four foundation of mindfulness. After that, The Buddha said, for you to really go into it and develop it, you really need to at least having overcome covetousness and grief. Means you must clear the first stage of sainthood and the second stage of sainthood before you can cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why step five, although is leading to sati sampajana, but it's only the initial cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness under kayanupasana, third category. But it's not the full satipatthana. You read the Satipatthana Sutta, it's always say, after overcoming grief and covetousness, then only you can develop mindfulness of kaya in kaya, mindfulness of feeling in feeling, mindfulness of citta in citta, and mindfulness of dhamma in dhamma. That's why after step five, the Buddha said, you will have the ability to be ever mindful in the midst of life, because there's sati, sampajana is so clear, your precept will be in order. You can never break your precept really. That's why step six is what? Sense restraint. You will have the ability to restrain your senses from stirring and reacting. Understand? Huh? That's why you are at least a sotapan. Yeah? In the sutta is mentioned, the sotapan cannot break the five precepts anymore. Cannot. So, when you have sense restraint, you cannot break your precept, then you can cultivate the third and fourth right effort. The third and fourth right effort is to arise the right effort to actually cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that is still not in you. Then the last right effort is to refine upon it and perfect it. And that one is to cultivate the wholesomeness. So when you develop that, means you have the three types of right conduct. Understand or not? Means right thought, right speech, right action will be with you. That's why step seven is the three types of right conduct. But that one can only arrive after your sense restraint is there. Otherwise, you still break your precept. Understand or not? But after you have the ability to restrain your senses, means no more breaking precept. But you have not cultivated right thought, right speech, right action, isn't it? True or not? You can follow or not? Step five is sati sampajana. Means you have this ability to have mindfulness and clear comprehension. Then because of that, you have sense restraint, step six. Sense restraint doesn't mean you have right thought, right speech, right action. Understand not? You may have some, but you have not cultivated right speech, right action, and right thought. Because that one is a noble info power cultivate. You need to cultivate that. And when you cultivate that, then only you can have step seven, which is the three type of right conduct is with you. Understand not? That is how step seven comes. After that, only the Buddha says, step eight, cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. So step eight is cultivating the four foundation of mindfulness, which means you are at least a sotapan and an sakadagami. That's why under the Satipatthana Sutta, when you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, the end of the sutta is it, you will realize at least anagami if there is still a little bit of minor conceit and all. Otherwise, you would have awakened and realized arahantship. Why is the four foundation of mindfulness described in that manner? It's because the Avijja Sutta match it perfectly. You have to reach step seven, complete it, then only you can cultivate six, step eight, which is the four foundation of mindfulness. And it meshes with the sutta that say after overcoming covetousness and grief. So the sotapan only root out the first three fetters. Understand? Sakayaditi, holding on to rites and ritual, and the faith in the triple gem. They have rooted these three things. But sensual desire and ill will, the fourth and fifth fetters that bind living beings to the world, they have not free. Understand? Even the Sakadagami, the second stage of sinhood, they only attenuated sensual desire and ill will. They have not rooted out. Only at the Anagami stage, you can root it out. So that is the whole teaching. And now, coming back to the last part that you may want to understand, the real sati leading to the real samadhi. The real samadhi. The real samadhi that the Buddha taught actually is this samadhi, the definition is very important. It's not from what the early days people believe that samadhi is equivalent to jhana. You understand? If that's the case, the Buddha would have put sama jhana. No need to put sama samadhi to create two words that can be confusing. Then the other thing is also, if jhana can really bring about enlightenment, the Buddha would have enlightened under the two teachers, Alara and Udaka. You realize he also reached the highest, 7 and 8 jhana, the formless. But he was not happy with that, because that is not what he is looking for. What he looked for is when he left the palace, the four signs that he saw, that one really make him feel that he cannot develop the understanding of life, because he has three problems. He cannot overcome OA, sickness and death. Well, when these three things happen, he got no answer. That's why he wants to continue to strive. Then he realized even after you achieve all the jhana, you will finally fall, and this physical body finally will get old, get sick, become very sick, and die. You hear the rain, huh? And because of that, he continue to strive, because he need the answer to this. So underneath the Bodhi tree, when he awakened, do you know what he realized? He realized this physical body is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon, not him. That's why his problem no more there. That's not. Means all his sickness and death pertain to this physical form. The five aggregate of form and mind, which is not him. That's why he teach the teaching. The five aggregate of form and mind, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana, they are impermanent, they lead to suffering, and they are non-self or empty. That's why he teaches the monk to chant, rupang anicang, rupang anatta, vedana anicang, vedana anatta. When he realized that the five aggregate of form and mind is not him, these are dependent originating entity. This one is a form and mind that goes away of nature, that is subject to karma, but it's not a permanent and changing entity that he can cling onto, grasp onto, and hold onto and say, this is me. That's how he awakened. That's why all the jhana that people talk about, you want to listen, you can. You want to try, you can. It's up to you. But the real samadhi that the Buddha teaches, now I will tell it to you. It's a free mind that is collected and unwavering. Why is it a free mind? Because in the salutation to the Dhamma, what did the Buddha say? Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And what are the characteristics of this Dhamma? This Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now, before you die. And this Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. So if you use jhana, which is thought-based, how can you realize the Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond mind? Well, when you are in the jhana state, it's very strong absorption, except the first jhana. The first jhana, there are still vitaka and vichara. The first two jhanic state. You remember? And what is vitaka? Applied thought. You apply the thought. Then sustain the thought, vichara. So vitaka and vichara are still there. That's why they are still applied thought and sustained thought. The thought is still there. But second jhana, vitaka, vichara, gone. Understand not? Then there is only piti, then sukhang, then ekagata. Understand not? And these three got no thought on. Means they have gone into deeper state of jhana. They call it the second jhana. Then the third jhana, even piti also no more. We are too gross. They want something more fine. They stay as sukhang. Then the fourth jhana is one-pointedness, ekagata, where even piti and sukhang also gone. The feeling part all gone. Then stay in the mind in one-pointedness. One-pointedness means what? They all focus and concentrate. Means all the thought kill at one point. That's why no thought. But who say there is no thought? It's that thought that is concentrated, say, I have no thought. Understand? And that one is still a thought telling you. That's why it's still within the field of thought. It has not gone beyond thought. Even the fourth jhana. Then when you go into the arupa, it's still consciousness. And that consciousness is still not the free mind. Understand? The consciousness still has its content. That's why the five aggregates, form and mind, the second aspect, is still there. And these are all not beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why the Buddha knew. He said, this is not what he's looking for. So the real samadhi is the mind that is collected, unwavering, but it's a free mind. Means you must start with what? The spiritual faculty that has overcome the mental hindrance. Then you relax, you maintain awareness. Even you do anapanasati, also no problem. It will come to that state. Like I explained to you, the anapanasati will become so still and so refined that it's like no more breathing, you remember? Until the mind enters sati. Your mind must enter sati. And your mind that enters sati must be a free mind. It must not in continuous mindfulness that even go into absorption. I was trapped there in the early years. Until I met my teacher, Ajahn Yantra. He told me the highest meditation. We choose aware, every action, every moment in present moment. I release out the energy from the anapanasati. Then I went into daily mindfulness. That's how I connect. That's how I realize the nature. That's how I move in and develop all the understanding. Then the four support that I teach you is the fastest and the easiest way to go in. Because the four support doesn't involve thought at all. Relax, maintain the awareness and stabilize it. Then go to the heart. Don't do anything, no thought to direct it. No thought-based activity. Just silent, that nature, let it move by itself. That nature, which is the awareness nature, which is a nature, not a being, not you. It cannot come out and live like, but you can detect it through a form of mind. Is connected to it. That's why that secret only the Buddhist teaching has. And the sainthood way seldom touch that point. They have a glimpse of that thing, but they don't know what that thing is. Yeah. So hopefully with this explanation, you can get the understanding. Okay? Do you have any questions? Or you want to ask something else also can.
Brother Gan.
It's not a state at all. It's the free mind that is aware. Can your free mind don't think? Impossible for you all. You must have the wisdom. Without yoniso manasikara, you will think one. Why? Avijja paccaya sankhara. Understand? The first two link of the 12 link. Self delusion. Avijja. The strongest avijja is sakkaya ditti. Self delusion. And because of sakkaya ditti, the atta, the ego, is there. Understand? This ego is a personality, you know, where you think you exist. Then you want to own thing, have thing, possess thing. That's why that craving force arise. The desire to have things, to own things, to possess things. Then when you cannot get what you want, that ego react and stir your mind into emotion. Understand? Then when you cannot understand what is going on, you have fear, worry, anxiety. And these are the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. It's from sakyadity. That's why without the wisdom, the fourth step of avijja sutta, yoniso manasikara, your mind will stir, will react. It cannot be a free mind in the state of awareness. That's why the four support is very powerful. Relax. Relax means what? Don't think. Don't do anything at ease. Maintain awareness means what? Stay with the awareness. Stay with that nature, awareness nature. Whatever arises at the sense basis, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Unless you can do that as a free mind without thought, which I can tell you, hardly anybody can do. Very, very few. Even after you have developed the cultivation, you need some form of concentration or samatha training. Samatha means calmness, calmness meditation. From samatha, you develop samadhi. And samadhi can be one-pointedness also. Be wrong samadhi. Understand? Apana samadhi is wrong samadhi. Thought-based, energy field. So that samadhi, which is a free mind without thought, that can be in the state of collectedness and unwavering, that is your true mind. Can you stay with the true mind without movement? You can't. Unless you have the wisdom. The wisdom that is there will make you different. Because you are not deluded anymore. No more avijja. No more creating sankhara activity, no more curiosity, no more want to know, want to do this, do that. Condition only arise, no condition, nothing arise. That is the wisdom that will unfold. So do not be like gullible when you listen to what people say. Well, I realize a lot of outside people teaching people how to enter samadhi. And they teach you a lot of method and technique. Some even chanting and other things to enter samadhi. But if that samadhi is not a free mind, then that is not the samadhi taught by the Buddha. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the third category of practice of the Kaya Anupassana is very clear. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement, in the present moment. You cannot be mindful in the midst of life. It means you need to carry this absorption mind state or jhana, which suppress all your mental hindrance. It cannot test you. It means your wisdom cannot be tested. It means when things happen, the samadhi suppress the mental hindrance. The mental hindrance cannot arise. Fear, worry, anxiety cannot arise. And even like and dislike also cannot arrive. In that state, you are like an enlightened being. Everything suppressed. I went through that when I was in the university. My mind, like, nothing can disturb me. I was full of metta at that time. I was in the state of absorption. Continuous mindfulness until I can shut down my senses. Nothing can enter. And I was doing my meditation at night. Middle of the night, I think, 2-3 a.m. Then there were motorbikes. You know those mud rampant or what I know you call. Very loud. Then the moment I went into this apana samadhi, absorption, I continuously draw the breath until I went into absorption. I realized suddenly the senses shut off. It's like something shut off the hearing. I didn't hear anything. Then I don't believe. I said, how can like that? The thought come, I release it out. Whoa, the sound come back so loud. Then I went in again. Shut up. The other one that I did is Longpo Tianon. That one verified completely. I was having itchiness up here. Very, very itchy. It was a test. Then I realized, as I continue to speed up this dynamic meditation, until I have continuous mindfulness, it's like a layer of pure energy, shave away that you call itchiness on, that tactile consciousness, it like shave it away. And because I did it with dynamic meditation, the moment I stop that movement, that itchiness come back. And very clear. That's why I knew. Then I tried again. I went into the continuous mindfulness. That's why I knew continuous mindfulness will make me go into absorption. And it is mindfulness that will shave off that craving force. That's why that craving force, the itchiness cannot disturb me. So when you have pain, you don't label it as pain, no. You know what must you do? Accept that reality. Understand that? Because condition like that, things will have, this is the tactile consciousness. In the tactile consciousness, it's only the consciousness. No one inside there, understand that? So no need to label as pain. The moment you label as pain, what happened? It become a mental hindrance, understand not? Because you label it as something you don't like, understand not? Aversion towards this sensation, understand not? And what are mental hindrance? Hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you don't do anything. You, like the Buddha said, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Accept it. You accept it means what? No more labeling, understand not? No more like and dislike. No more pleasant and unpleasant. No more sensual desire. You will miss. No more mental hindrance. Then, what do? You continue to be mindful, understand not? Aware. And the awareness will take over. So like how it shave off the what they call the itchiness, understand not? This so-called sensation that is pain will flash off. No matter how painful, it will flash off. Then it will be like gone, completely gone. That's why after that, just before 1989, I remember, after I went through that pain, until today, I got no issue with sitting. No matter how I sit, it cannot come and disturb me anymore. I can accept the reality and stay with it. Then I can be in that state of awareness where the sensation all doesn't disturb me at all. You can be at peace with all things. So all this, you have to go through to develop the understanding. Okay? Because it's not something where You enter into one means thought base, understand not? The mind enter into that type of one-pointedness. Means you need to focus, understand not? Means that mundane mind is doing something, understand not? That's why I say don't try to do. Don't try to know. Who is doing? The thought is doing. Who is trying to know? The thought is trying to know. Who is stirring the mind? The wrong thought is stirring the mind. Because the pure nature has got nothing. No word, no duality, no concept, no idea. It's just that pure nature. Why can't you be with that pure nature? And that pure nature is not you, it's a nature. But your mundane mind can be with that nature. When the mundane mind realizes itself and stays silent, then that nature manifests. And that nature is capable of awakening, capable of understanding. It can see things as they are, without words, without concept, without any interference from your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system. All this doesn't come in. Even your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever anxiety, fear, worry, they cannot come in and interfere. But these are mind states. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Not what you think. So all these are not easy to develop as understanding unless you have the faith in the Buddha and his teaching and just follow his instruction and develop the heedfulness. That's it. The moment you are heedful, you are whole. And to be heedful is very easy. First, train your mind to be mindful, to be aware without thought. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. They use it to meditate. That is heedfulness already. That's it already. That's why the daily mindfulness must be very stable. That's why I told a lot of Kayamida, not until your daily mindfulness arises, you have not started the real meditation. The real meditation is not fantastic experience of meditation that you feel the bliss, you feel the joy, you feel the fantastic mind state. You think you can become like very special, can create magic and all those things. But that is just a conditioned state. Understand? It does not bring about wisdom. As long as it does not bring about wisdom, you will still suffer when you are in this conditioned world. Your eight reality will continue to come and haunt you. That's why a lot of people who do jhana, when they get old, they get into problem. They cannot cope. You know, how come last time when I was young, my jhana very strong, I got no problem at all. But now they cannot develop the same jhana where the body already cannot support this activity. And they couldn't really be in that state anymore. Well, these are conditioned state. And everything that is dependent originating is not a reality. It will continue to evolve and cease. When there is no more condition for the entity, the so-called living being or human being, to continue to sustain its life, it will cease. Then it will die. You call it die. But actually no one died, nothing died. That nature never died. Whatever that is never born, how can it die? It can never die. So all this, unless you cultivate and develop the real understanding, you cannot fathom or understand. So just have faith and sincerely develop it and find out for yourself. Because like the Buddha said, the truth can be investigated into. And the characteristic of Dhamma is very clear. Akaliko, always remember, beyond thought, beyond mind. So this book is very good. Beyond thought, beyond mind. The three types of time. Physical time, mental time, and the timeless. You can only enter the timeless when the thought stops. Understand? Means the pure awareness, which is a free mind without thought, is the timeless. And that is akaliko. That is what you can realize. Yeah. And this one is not a concept or an idea. No. The Buddha said you can realize it. And every living being that go through Nibbana can realize it. When you realize Nibbana, that pure awareness nature also cease. That one also no more. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Trust. It's inside the book. You get hold of the book. Trust. T-R-U-S-T. Trust means trust your nature to do. Trust your nature to do means your nature inside is already wise without delusion. That nature got no thought. Understand? No thought means what? No words. No labeling. No idea. No activity of mind, nothing. It's just that pure nature. And that one is incapable of doing anything. One. That's why you let that one move, it will take you along. One. Only that pure nature, awareness nature, can locate the gateway. Nothing else can locate. That's why without trust, it cannot locate. One. It cannot find. One. You try to look for it, it's the thought trying to look for it. And you cannot find it. Yeah. And I was really joyful and amazed because some Kayamita who never really last time before they realized that gateway to the nature, they do it on their own. No? One of them is Po Ching in Singapore. I was so surprised. No? By just listening attentively to what I share in the Heart Sutta during MCO for 8 months, and she do it, and she got it. She just followed the four support. And she herself was so amazed. Until he tell the sister. The sister, Han Mo Cheng. He's Han Po Cheng. I think your brother know Han Mo Cheng, they are two very close last night. Both of them came and see me. Until now, the sister also very convinced and keep on coming to the class. So all this can be done. Then even quite a number of Kayamita, they managed to actually locate it and develop the movement, the internal movement, and they transform. Even PG, where is PG? Lying down somewhere. Because after the retreat, he connect out. And she keep on wanting to meditate. The mind keep on wanting to go into that state. And it becomes so different now. This retreat, a lot of things happen, I tell you. The last retreat, the Singaporean were there at that. You ask Ng Bi, they all who went there. There, Lei Hong also there. Lei Hong also be pai. Udliao one. Yes, she can I lie now. Up with Gao. Because she got the faith. And that one can be very penetrating. The moment it come, you won't believe one. And the three Singaporeans, very new. And yet, they can like have the faith already. They know what this thing is. And they are now really like very motivated. Very motivated. So a lot of things are happening. Because the Kayamita Falls, the movement is very beautiful. You realize the weather today very funny. Just now when I was explaining the thing, the lightning, the thunder. So all this is something that you all also have affinity. Because I realize, every time I come to Klang Tok, even that time Brother Khan was holding it at your center there, that Kuan Yin there. Every time I go there and give talk, inside here, something is going on up there. All the very important teaching all come out from there. Even Nancy's house also, this is the second time. And this house is very good. That's why they waited, they wanted. And this topic also happened to come from you. Yeah, this is what they also want to know. And not many people can understand. So, you will read the book very clear. That book, and now, don't worry. You see, this third book, this latest book, is the best, because the what they call awareness-based meditation, there are two sections on it. One is the earlier section when I was giving this talk, and I combine into this, because these two become very complementary, and you will understand the awareness-based meditation very easily. Because this is meant for people who are not sophisticated, means in the past, you have not developed this type of Dhamma understanding before. But you must be sincere. Once you're sincere, you read. Like you don't know anything. You just follow the instruction. You will understand it very clearly. Last time, one is my own language, which is not so easy for normal people without Dhamma to understand. But my one is for you. For those who have the past cultivation, for those who have the past cultivation, my English is good enough for them. What they need is pointer, to point to that. But this one, Chuyi has helped me. Chuyi, her English is very good. She actually changed the flow of that language. Then when I read, I have a lot of joy. Because I told even Song, they all, Alicia, they all. After he helped to polish up the English, I realized so easy to understand. Because she keep on telling me what, the feedback. Chui. Say, brother, what a waste, he said. I say, why? He said, your Dhamma is so good. But the English educators who are good in English, they don't want to read your book. Why? Your English is so crude, is it? Basic English also not there. He don't want to read. That's why he changed the language For me, of course, there were in between you, Ah Song, they all, and those who helped me. He real editor. You know what is an editor? He edit my book. And he said, no, but your English cannot be like that. It must be like that, like that. Otherwise, people cannot understand you. I say, okay. Then I see the point. And it's meant to be. And now you don't believe, you go and read. The English is very good. The flow is very good. And very easy to understand. Very, very easy to understand. Not complicated at all. And that's why this retreat, a lot of people benefited, progress. The Singaporean came, they did not do that lying down meditation until towards the last 2 days or 3 days. Then that Poon Fei, I think he tried. Then he reported, I hear my own snoring. And now I understand what you mean. You see? Because that very snoring is the consciousness that will trigger of your hearing. Understand? And the moment you are aware, you can be aware of this consciousness. It's very clear. Then later on, half a sound, before that growl finish, you already aware already. But the awareness is the one that will become aware. And the first thing that arises, the awareness. But you also condition. The moment you aware, your memory come in. You want to know, you want to perceive already. And you want to, do your habitual thing already. That's why you cannot be at the moment of awareness. At the moment of awareness is the most beautiful moment. But that moment, there is nothing to interfere. You can see things as they are, and that reality. But without that sati, you cannot stop there. I realize it's straight away condition you into craving. Like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant. You react and stir your mind straight away. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Luckily, got Nancy. The dog very quiet. Very, very tranquil. See, no more rocking around. Now very quiet, very attentive. Does the dog know that we talk about him?
He's very old.
Very old. Yeah, can see. Very old. But good dog. Mm. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Retreat. But after the retreat,
I know. I understand what you are trying to say. Because when you are in the retreat, that tranquil setting is very favorable, very suitable, and you can be in that state. It's just like good food. First time you taste it, very nice one. But it does not sustain for too long. If every day you eat, you become boring. You no longer like the food already. Same one. So the mind is so conditioned, when you repeat that same experience, they don't want. So what you need to do is, this is an awareness-based training. It's not a craving where you experience, then you look for it again. Understand? That one is the mundane mind. But the mundane mind is so conditioned, you want to look for it. And you do not realize that when you are in that state, when your movement and your awareness become one, that is just a beginning. You have to stabilize it. That's why don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just continue to make it continuous. Until throughout the day, you are all the time mindful and aware, without thought. Stabilize it. Then carry it out into the daily life. If in the daily life also you can become like that, then you will become different. I remember 86 to 89, that 3 years, I was continuously throughout the day aware, mindful. While working, sleeping, or I can go into my sleep and be aware inside and wake up like I didn't sleep. The same consciousness come out. I no need to wash face, nothing. The face not tired, nothing. Like I didn't sleep. Fully aware, come out. That's why I know that two mind never sleep. But the mundane mind think a lot, create a lot of activity. a lot of sankhara movement. Then when you sleep, you try to like rest, but the body with the thought process prevent it from resting. So what happens is sometimes you go into deeper sleep, then this thought is not interfering, then that nature actually heals you. That nature heal you by releasing your phobia, your trap phobia, subconscious and unconscious phobia, your fear, your whatever insecurities, cast of memory, all this start to release. There's sometimes you like you dream of something very frightening. That is the phobia that release from inside. But no use. After that, when you become conscious, that thing go back again. Because you didn't develop wisdom to see this and understand this and root it out. When you see and understand that these are trap phobia, then next time you will not accumulate. Understand? Huh? But because you don't see, you don't have the wisdom to see how it go in and how it affect you and how it create this type of mental consciousness, you will continue to repeat and do the same. That's why you are different. When you have the awareness, you see, you wake up. This is how you went in. This is how the subconscious release it. After you release, you somehow go and catch it back. Understand? Huh? Like Alicia said, the fish jump out of the pond already, uncomfortable, because used to be in the water, want to jump back again. And water is like samsara. Understand? Huh? You out of samsara already, you don't know. Huh? You think this is very weird. You're outside. Samsara got a lot of activity. Huh? So you still want to jump in. So the one that don't develop wisdom one is like that. You go back to the old way and you continue to do this and you continue to accumulate. That's why once you have sati, mindfulness and the initial wisdom, yuniso manasikara, and the third turning one is different. The third turning, I didn't elaborate much. Bhavana maya panya, the third turning is when your mind is in sati, stabilized until it's completely without thought. Means that awareness nature become very stable. Very, very stable. And when it become very stable, a lot of movement will move inside. But this one you need to detect the gateway. This one only bodhisattva do. Then when this one happen that time, it will transform inside until your awareness become like very, very clear, very stable. And then this one, keep on awakening. Keep on seeing through one. Keep on the direct seeing, the understanding, or keep on manifesting. And that one is the third turning one. That's why it's very penetrative one. But that one, you have to do the Satipatthana Sutta. You have to be throughout the day mindful, aware. Not only Kayanupasana. Kayanupasana is to stabilize it only. Then after that, you go into Vedana. The feeling. The awareness and the feeling as one. That's why I come to know whenever the Buddha say, when feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant, you must be aware. Means what? Feeling has become, like, transformed into sensual desire and ill will. It's no longer neutral feeling. It's no longer the pure feeling. Means habitual tendency, your craving, your like and dislike. That's why you cling on to what you like, pleasant feeling. You reject what you don't like. Unpleasant feeling. Then like and dislike. You also cling. This one I like, this one I don't like. That reaction of mind. But once you have the wisdom, you awaken already, you see very clearly. These are duality that pertain to the world. The world is full of duality. And whether like or dislike got no more power over you, understand? Well, it's a craving. If I don't have craving, I can still eat good food. That's all. I've got condition to eat. I've got condition to stay in nice place. That's why the Buddha say the precept is for those under training. When you are under training, you have to keep to it. Otherwise, you succumb to that craving. But when you are beyond training, means asekha, all this doesn't apply anymore. Like in the Heart Sutta. So the mind that see and understand and awaken is a totally different mind. Well, that mind is not the mundane mind anymore. It's the wisdom connected to this nature. It's the wisdom that has the understanding to see things as they are, that has awakened and behaved differently, no longer deluded, no more avijja. No more avijja means no more craving, nothing to draw you into this and that, but your form and mind still there. That's not all. You can still have what they call the normal life. You can go back to the third stage of seeing under Mahayana. Kan san, use san. You become normal again. You don't argue with people anymore. Yeah. Thing is just the way it is. So it is that beauty of that teaching. And that teaching can go very deep and very penetrative until very extensive. You can understand a lot of things. Even the law of karma, everything can be understood clearly. So that one retreat one, a lot of people tell me before already, like you say, after the retreat, at the most 2 weeks, you say, I go back to square one. Because that is the way of the mundane mind. When you are in the retreat, you don't have the awareness to be in the state of awakening to realize the truth and transform when you come out. If you can have that understanding, unless that teacher can understand and guide you and teach you, otherwise you cannot. Because there are a lot more things. Even if you are in that state of continuous mindfulness, let's say, stability of it, you will understand things by your own knowledge. You will develop a lot of initial wisdom and stability of it. But to penetrate until very stable, it will take a while, not immediate one, I realize. That's why in the retreat, I teach them what my nature has realized in the past. To see things as they are and explain that part. The Buddha only mentioned this word, jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Learn to see things as they are. Means not what your memory perceive or what you perceive as an individuality. Means see reality. See things as they are, without the words, without the conditioning, without the whatever distortion created by thought. So all these are words, not easy to develop as wisdom to apply them. So for me, I expanded on it. See things as they are means the world is the world. People are just the way they are. And then you will understand better. Means what? The world is the world means what? The world is a summation of all the living beings that created the totality of consciousness, which is our planetary consciousness or the universal consciousness. Condition like that, things will be like that. So the world will move in this direction already. That's why when I went to Singapore, they said, wow, Malaysian politics like that one. I said, the world is the world. Why you going to worry about Malaysian politics? Condition like that, the collective consciousness like that, you will move like that. So you play a role. That's why Krishnamurti say, the individual must change for the world to change. We are the individual make up the collective. So it is a process. You cannot change. So condition like that, things will be like that. So you accept. When you accept, no more anger, no more hatred, no more views, opinion, dislike and all those things. You no longer enter into argument. The world is the world. Then people are just the way they are. Means what? Last time you see the person you don't like, you get angry on it. Or you recall through memory, last time he did this to me, he cheated me, he scammed me. But he's the way he is. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. So the Singaporean hear this. I say, Brother, I like your this explanation. Now I can accept my wife for what she is. So good. So, last time cannot honor. How come the world are there? How come people are there? Everything also how come. But when you explain it in a way that he or she can accept, it's like, no more problem. But she is the way she is, doesn't mean I agree with her, no. She deluded, do deluded thing. She selfish, she do selfish thing. She bosong, do bosong thing. Understand? So, when you do this, you develop the understanding, then you apply to yourself, understand? you don't think that you can see others, then people see you, observe you, you also do the same. Means you are no different from that person as well. So in order to have the wisdom to accept them for what they are, you are developing self-knowledge. If that person can make people angry and unhappy over what they do through delusion and what, then like the Buddha say, you must avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. How to avoid all evil? You must not react like them, like deluded people or angry people or violent. You must keep your noble eightfold path in place. You must have right view to accept the reality. Then approach everything with right speech, right thought, right action. Then right way of living life means no more negativity, no more selfishness, no more emotional negativity, no more fear, worry, anxiety. Like I used to say, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety can help you solve your problem. So why you want to fear? Why you want to develop all the anxiety, the unhappiness? You hold the key to your own life destiny, yeah? To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your... So choose to be happy. Choose to have love, have joy. Love yourself more. Then you will be very happy. So the choice is in the wisdom that choose. It's not the like and dislike that make the choice. That's why Krishnamurti say, wherever there is choice, there is confusion. We are only confused people choose. Wise people accord and flow, they never choose. We are conditioned like that, they accord. And when condition ceases, they also flow and ceases. They do not actually create the wrong understanding to react and stir and continuously become bosong, unhappy. What for? Life is very short, understand? Or? How much anger and grudges can you hold? Why not develop the joy inside? Kai sing, hua hi lo ho, kui sim lo ho. Why not open up your heart, develop the love, the joy, the happiness. Moment to moment, everything is so pristine, so beautiful. Truth is everywhere, in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Yes, like today, our Kayamita lunch, everybody is so happy, yes, so full of joy, good memory. But how come when you go back to your own life, your daily life, here bosong, there bosong. Everything can make you bosong. Okay? Sadhu. I think enough, we rejoice. So we share merits and maybe we end. Akasata Chyobumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditva Chirang Rakkantu Loka Sasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Pasampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukhita Hantu Nyatayo Idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo. Devo asatkalena sasu sampati heto ca fito bhavatu loko ca Raja bawa tu damiko imina ponyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. The altar is over there.